And welcome back to the Endurance Hour podcast. This is episode 241. I'm Dave Erickson alongside Wendy Mader. And today we are focusing on one topic, one question. And this was sent in by David Kaufman on our Endurance Hour YouTube channel. Wendy, David writes, do you encourage males to swim or train with drag suits? That to me sounds like an odd question. What do you think?
I think I answer every question the same. It just depends on their goal and why they want to do it. Because he stressed the word males, I'm not quite sure the difference between a male and a female drag suit. As a high school swimmer, when we were in our build phase getting ready for our, you know, state or national competition, males and females, we wore the same drag suits, which are basically, you know, just short, like Speedos with pockets that when you swam, they filled up with water. Us females also wore multiple, you know, one-piece suits that were torn up that provided additional drag. We even went as far as wore t-shirts sometimes to create that extra drag. So are you looking to get stronger? Are you looking to slow down? What are you looking to get out of the drag suit? I think if you're looking for strength gains, whether you're male or female, swimming with a swimming parachute is going to provide the same concept, only in a more difficult manner, is providing you with drag, is swimming with a parachute.
So is this a common training tool for swimmers?
Yeah, it's definitely a training tool for, you know, your high school age group collegiate swimmers to swim with drag, get stronger, help provide resistance while you're, you know, kind of getting in that build phase, peak phase of your swimming training.
I'm wondering, what's the difference between having paddles and a drag suit? Is it a different stresses on your body with what it provides as a tool?
Yeah, I mean, like a drag suit, I mean, it's going to drag you down. It may, depending on the person's technique or the person's efficiency of their kick, it's going to probably lower their legs in the water. So they might end up trying to find that balance point where their drag suit isn't, you know, in a sense, dragging them down. But again, as a swimmer, we don't really have that problem with legs dragging. We're using the resistance, whether it's a parachute or a drag suit or a piece of clothing, we're using it to provide resistance.
Yeah.
So it's helping us train harder. So when we take that drag off, we're fast.
And it doesn't change your form or technique when you have this, the extra clothing on, or the drag pulling your hips to one side.
I mean, I think as a swimmer, we're able to find that technique pretty quickly. When we're providing our bodies with drag, we're able to kind of figure out how to get our body in a better position than a less experienced swimmer would be. So I've even thought about having less experienced, weaker swimmers try to do swim with a parachute, so they really get a feel of what it's like to have drag on their body. They may feel drag now based on their technique, but if they put on some drag, whether it's clothing, a drag suit, or the parachute, then they're really going to feel what it feels like to have drag, and their current drag without anything isn't going to be so bad.
All right, Coach, I'm going to be just argumentative here, because I'm a novice when it comes to those type of things. My impression is, if I'm fighting against a drag and it's pushing me off to one side, am I adjusting my technique to where when I go back to without a drag, that I'm going to be off? I'm learning bad habits to adjust for this drag. Is that why is my thinking wrong?
Well, that's your thinking, but my way of thinking as a swimmer and a swim coach is, you're using that drag. It's throwing your technique off, and you should be trying to figure out how to get the technique back. But again, as a non-swimmer, a non-swimmer is not going to know how to get that technique back. So, so you're right in the sense it's saying, if you know nothing about how to figure your own technique out, and you put more drag on your body and you struggle without the drag, you're going to struggle a lot more with the drag. If you have a concept of what you need to do to get that better body position and balance back, it's only going to help you. But if you have no idea what to do, it's only going to hurt you and provide you more frustration, because instead of your legs being 3 inches under the water, they might be 6 inches under the water.
Yeah.
You know, someone like me as a swimmer, when I try to something I used to do when I coached on deck was I would get in and cross my legs, and I'd have the athlete get in and cross their legs. And when you cross your legs in the water, they automatically go to the bottom. And at some point your toes could be dragging on the bottom. So it was me helping them use their core, the area between their hips and their shoulders, to try to use their core to bring their legs up. That's something I would do with someone who was providing drag on their body.
At what stage of your swimming experience would you start to encourage a drag suit? Because when you begin, you might use the swim buoy, you might use paddles, you could use fins or the rubber band around your ankles. When do you incorporate drag? It sounds like it might be for the more advanced athlete.
Yeah. So everything you just described is helping you get less drag. It's helping you provide yourself with less drag. I would have fun doing it with a beginner if I was on deck coaching them. I wouldn't want to say, hey, you don't know how to swim, put on some drag. That would be not good. But definitely for a more advanced swimmer, for sure. To me, I got my swimming parachute last year, and it just provided extra, extra resistance, extra training. I've been training for 26 years. I needed something to kind of motivate me and something new and something different. And it was successful with it. And I've helped other athletes use a parachute because I knew they were ready to use the parachute. So definitely an advanced strategy.
To get faster in the water, it's a matter of just swimming more often and swim faster to get faster, right? Just like running faster to get run faster.
Yeah, and that's actually a good topic of discussion. I was listening to another podcast about how to swim faster. Definitely, if you want to be a faster in your sport, whether it's a swimming, biking, or running, you have to put in the speed work, the threshold work, the VO2 max work, the intensity work. But before that, you also have to develop the technique and the strength. So when you do put in that faster speed threshold workouts, you're able to do it, and it's going to be less effort than if you just start with the speed work without having that base technique and endurance and strength.
David, thank you for the question, and you kind of got an interesting conversation between us, and I hope you got some different perspectives, and other people who are listening as well found some value in that. If you have a question for us on the podcast, you can send it to endurancehour@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail, and we'll also feature that. Go to speakpipe.com/endurancehour. For Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Thanks for listening. This has been episode 242. We'll see you next time. Adios.
Adios.